What?
Hey, how about that? I'm on. Well, those people at home will have to miss the big introduction. But I do have a day job, and many of you would think that that's a good idea. I don't seem to be able to get this to click to go forward either. What am I missing? I'm there. There we go. A word from me. I'm VP of Technology at IdeaBlade, where we make a great product that helps you move business data over the wire and deliver it to, well, preferably a .NET client. Could be WinForms, could be WPF, could be Silverlight, could be a non-.NET client. If you know Rhea Services, then I'm tempted to say that we're Rhea Services on steroids, except that then I'd have to lie in front of the grand jury, and I'd be taken off to court for perjury and all that other stuff. So that's the last of that. Now, I have years of experience building great UIs, great desktop applications, and this is one of my finest examples because we have characteristically got all the data on there, all the buttons, everything you really need to do whatever this is. And I've been asked to port that right to the phone, which I'm really excited about doing. Of course, I did ask the question, why are we doing this? And naturally, I talked to management. And management said, well, we have a great business plan. We've been working on it diligently. And here's our plan. And it says that we're going to add phone. Chances are they've thought it through just about this much. The CIO has seen the competitor's product on some unnamed phone device and decided that the business is really going to take off if they move it to those other devices. Now, who am I to argue with management? Particularly since in my darkest heart, I really do want to take that beautiful application and put it on a phone. Although I have some misgivings about that. Clearly, this is going to involve some design decisions. And if you came here looking for a technical explanation of how to move anything onto the phone, you're in the wrong room, because we're going to be talking about fundamental design decisions that involve no code whatsoever. The first thought is that the phone is different, not a big surprise, but that will have some implications. This is probably more like what you would have done. I ripped this off of some rather standard-looking UI. It's Northwind data. And duh, yeah, that's not going to fit, not when I throw my grubby little thumbs on it. And you all knew that. There are also a bunch of other technical obstacles. We know that the phone has, one core, gigahertz. This is not like what you're going to be having on your desktop. We know that the network is slow, that you're always losing the connection. At any moment, somebody can come along and knock you out of the box because they're running their application. And then you're going to have to restart, possibly even restart from zero, because instead of hitting the back button, they'll click your live tile again. So you're going to find you're spending a surprise, even though the application is not very large, you'll spend a surprising amount of time doing performance enhancements. And as you saw with the Mango, well, actually some of the tooling we saw the other day, there's a lot of attention paid to how to improve that, improve your ability to work on the performance issues. But really what's at issue here is that the phone is not used like a desktop. It's an impulse decision to pick that thing up and use it. And as a user of it, I expect it to do immediately what I want it to do. I expect that whatever I'm going to do with it is not going to take a very long time, because I don't have a lot of time when I'm reaching for my phone. It's not like I'm trapped in my cubicle where I'm going to be there hour after hour. No, I'm going to have a very brief interaction. I had better design for a brief interaction. The very large probability that I'm going to be interrupted while I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing. I'm standing in a coffee line, and somebody's going to ask for my order, or I'm going to have to drop something and put something down. I'm going to be interrupted. Have I designed for interruption? Have I designed for distraction? And I think most importantly, it's a choice. It's a choice to fire up this application. You see, when I'm on the desktop, it's boss time. I'm doing what he or she wants. Okay? But when I pull out that phone, that's my time. All right? On the desktop, you can make me use this. When I pull out the phone, you can't make me use this. This is my time. All right? Now, is this obvious? Well, I think it's obvious, and you probably think it's obvious. It's not obvious for somebody. This little statistic says that 26% of applications that are downloaded are used once, probably around the time they were downloaded, and then they're retired. I've looked at these other numbers, and it doesn't get a whole lot better for those that are used the second and the third term. It's kind of a power curve. It really drops off before you find anybody who's using an application more than 50 times. Now, that's pretty bad, 25% fallout, but I think also of this, 50% of all applications that have ever been written or ever been started never even deliver in the first place. I mean, it's really bad. We know this from the long history of IT. So there's an excellent chance that you'll be shipping a dead fish. So clearly some design issues that you have never thought about before are going to come to play. And the darn thing's not going to design itself. Do you need a designer? Do I need a designer? Well, heck yeah. I got a lot of designer friends. They're always telling me I need a designer. I've been in this game a long time, though. I mean, I'd really like to have a designer, too. I want to have a designer. But I've been in the game, I'm sure you have, too, and there hasn't been a whole lot of budget for designers. I don't even know any designers that are hanging around. You know what? I'm going to be the designer. And because I'm going to be the designer, and I know that this is really new for me, I've decided to go to school. I'm going to art school. I'm going to be a designer. And as a matter of fact, I've been working really hard on this, and I am designing the corporate Christmas card for this year, and I'm really proud of it. Okay, so maybe that ain't gonna cut it, but this is really interesting. It's a great book by Donald Norman, Design of Everyday Things. It goes back as far as 1988 when he said, you know what, we can't ask developers, and I'm talking to developers here, to take on this burden of being a designer, too. We simply can't ask them to do that. Someday, he said in 1988, someday there will be tools. And indeed there are. Indeed there's Metro. This is to the great relief of we developers. So here's the sort of mission statement. It's a beautiful design language. It's modern, even if it comes from the 20s. And it's clean, and there's a whole set of principles that surround Metro that help us think about what we're trying to do, one of which is emphasizes typography, which is great, because most of our data is text, right? I mean, we don't have a lot of whole gigas to go about. And it's got notions of motion, but that's motion under control, and motion that's meaningful, and it strips away all of that scary Chrome stuff, all right? In a word, it's minimalism. It's a design style of minimalism, and it's been, I think it's very effective. As a matter of fact, I'm seeing it climb off the phone and reach right into the desktop. A lot of desktop apps are going this way. And it's more than just a style guide, because, you know, if we just had those things, we'd just be sitting there going, blah, 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 blah. I mean, you know, that's another bunch of principles. But it's even more than that. It's a system. And we're told what icons we can use and how those icons should behave. And we're told what gestures we've got available to us and what the gestures mean. And we've got some controls, and they're all shaped for us. And, you know, people are extending the controls, but they're keeping them within the theme. So you can get the Sean Wildermuth's phony controls, P-H-O-N-E-Y, very clever. And you can get more behaviors out of them, but it's still prescriptive control. So it's all taken care of for you, and the navigation is taken care of for you, and we have Blend, and the templates are taken care of for you. This is a developer's dream. What designer? I just go in there, and I use all this great stuff. Oh, and then there's this wonderful page, which I strongly recommend to you people. It's Jeff Wilcox's checklist. I think of it as the checklist of things that you should do, and it's kind of the integration of the principles and the practices that can keep you from shooting yourself in the foot. So I highly recommend you check that out. Now, is it mundane? I mean, Metro is all designed like for a bus station or something like that. Am I making my application like a bus station? Is that a bad thing? Shouldn't it be exciting? Well, I got a desktop app. It wasn't all that exciting to begin with. All right? And besides, really, am I really trying to have this great experience with my desktop application? You know, I mean, when I pick up the hammer, and this is a great designer, by the way, who pointed this out. You know, I'm not trying to have it. I'm having an experience, but I'm not trying to have an experience. I'm not trying to have a hammer that's in the Museum of Modern Art. All right? I'm trying to have a hammer that drives nails true. And it seems to be working okay for these guys. I mean, this isn't going to win any design awards. I don't think Facebook, that's the mobile on the left and the website on the right. I don't think they're going to win any design awards, do you? But they seem to be doing all right. So, I say, sure, it's a uniform. All right? Let's stuff ourselves into that uniform and go out there and build ourselves a phone app. Well, wait a minute. I didn't want to quite do it. I mean, what it comes down to is that Metro is fundamentally a style. It's a UI design. It doesn't tell us, it tells us what we could do for any app, but it doesn't tell us what to do for our app, for our problem, for our client. All right? And I've seen, perhaps you have too, the marketplaces in general across the board are indicators of this, that you could adhere to a style and deliver a dead fish. All right? Because it doesn't tell you that you're doing anything worthwhile. It doesn't tell you that you're going to do anything that somebody wants to use. So I'm introducing my principles. I'm calling them JETRO for no other reason than it rhymes with Metro. Everybody's got to have principles. Why shouldn't I? Again, it's the idea of minimalism, though. It's going to be focus on one purpose and follow that purpose. Build the activities around that purpose. Now, I want to stress that this is my opinion, and I don't know, who cares? But it's kind of derived from things I've seen and experiences I've had. And, you know, there won't be any Metro police knocking at the door if you violate these guidelines. Of course, you may fail in the marketplace. The marketplace may be your cop. You never know. Anyway, here they are. You can read them, but we're actually going to go through them one by one. First, we're going to start with the business. What's the business purpose? Originally, I asked about why. All right. And when I say business purpose, I'm not talking about the grand business purpose of the company. I'm talking about what will this application do to move the business in some meaningful way. I've put it up here as a, you know, increasing revenue, decreasing costs. You figure out, you know, what it might mean in your organization. But there should be something, something that moves the business. And when you found out why this application is going to move the business in some fashion, you really don't know it until you've put some metric around it. But put the metric around the things that's supposed to move in your business, all right? What the application is supposed to move. So if it's supposed to drive sales, then it should be watching, somehow correlating the app to the sales, all right? Don't just take whatever metric's available, like the drunk under the light post who's looking for his keys because that's where the light's the best, all right? You're not measuring activity. You're not measuring downloads unless downloads somehow correlates with moving the business, all right? Which leads me to the fundamental point, which is that we got to know the business. If you don't know the business, then it's hard to listen to what clients or users are telling you. And we're all told, listen to the client, listen to the user. But it's hard to know what they're telling you because you don't understand, really understand what you're telling you, which is why we have a tendency to just throw our hands up in the air and throw stuff onto the screen. All right? So when when I was in the leasing business, you know, I went out there and I made leases. I went out and I dealt with the contracts and I dealt with the collections. And so I got to understand what that stuff really meant. And by the way, this doesn't mean going and figuring out what the business systems are. Because chances are those business systems were written by somebody who didn't understand the business. So they do a marvelous job of encapsulating something that was just made up. Knowing the business is how you get the right intuitions. Which then gets me to the user and the idea of doing one thing well for one person. You know, a lot of our applications, we have a lot of different kinds of users. We got admins and this kind of role and that kind of role, a lot of functionality. No, let's pick one. Let's not have multiple roles. Let's have one user. Let's really know who that user is, and let's give that user one thing to do. Not many things to do. One really important thing to do, which correlates with the business purpose that we talked about, moving the business. And it should be something that they would do on the phone. And then every activity should support that. I like to say that if you should be able to put that purpose on a fortune cookie. Be able to fit it on there. So this is what most people do when they're asked to put it on a fortune cookie. They say, manage my assets. What does that mean? That means that you don't know what your purpose is. And I think that you can do better than that. I know we can do better than that. What we're looking for is something like this. Like, find a good restaurant near here. And when we're doing that, we're going to put that in context. We're going to say, we've got to put this in a mobile context. So not just said I'm going to do it, but how is it I'm not doing it at my desk? I'm doing it while I'm standing on the corner. And if this was what it looked like, then I'd probably be talking about Yelp, all right? Which tells me nearby, quickly, when it's on my corner. The other thing is that, you know, there's a chance that what you're doing is not really, you know, if it's a business application, it's not, like, super exciting. So again, how are you going to get them to take that thing out of their pocket and use it? You got to reach into the primal character of the, you know, the user there. You got to go find something they're anxious about. You know, food, shelter, sex, anxiety is really a great thing to play on. All right? You got to find that primal thing, and it may not be what the purpose is, but you got to find some things to do in the application to touch the primal. And by the way, we're going to see these things when I do a use case. I'm going to pick up one application that I think illustrates many of these points. So, but this isn't that application. This is Cocktail Flow. And one of the things I really like about Cocktail Flow is it's nominally about how do I build cocktails. The fact of the matter is it really is about partay. All right, I'm going out there. It's all gauzy and everything. And by the way, you'd need a designer to do this one. It's all like, ooh, I'm already halfway there. And I'm going to hook up. All right? You know, you don't think this is about hooking up? What's that graphic about? All right? A really smart guy once said, in order to know how good an application is, I want you to tell me how this application is going to get my users laid. That's a bit crude, but it gets you thinking, you know, as you're looking at your own application, maybe it's not going to do that, but what does it tap into? Hey, it's got to be personal. It's my phone. Most of our business applications are not personal. When we say personalization in our desktop apps, we usually move, you know, we have some kind of thing where they can move fields around a screen. I don't want to move fields around a screen. I want the data to be about me. I want the history to be about me. I want everything to be about me. Make it about me. That's the only reason I'm taking it out of my pocket. And don't make me think. Don't make me work. That's what I do when I'm sitting in the cube. Don't make me work. This makes me work. This is the application where the guy said, hey, I don't know what to do. I'll bet you if we put everything on the screen, the user could figure it out. They'll do whatever they want to do. Yeah, they will. So let's put the home address in there and everything we know about the home address. And let's let them drill in for orders too, because you know you look at the home address and the orders in the same moment. No, we don't. All right? So we can't get away with this. We got to be thinking about what it is that we can do that makes the user get immediate response. And one of the first things to do there is to get right to it. You figured out what the purpose is, make that the first screen. You figured out what the application is supposed to do, what the user is supposed to do. You only had one. Take them to that screen. And anything they got to do, make it short. Make it brief. We've got 5 minutes. You go time somebody using your desktop apps. It's 5 minutes to get something done. You can't do that. You got to figure it out. Oops, too far. Minimal screen depth. All right, I cannot be up there figuring out how deep I am, where the cookie crumbs are, any of that stuff. So I'm really looking for an application that doesn't get any deeper than 3. Now, I'm going to show you an application where I lost count at 32 screens. And it's a great application because it never gets deeper than 3. Or at least my sense of it is that it never gets deeper than 3. Make choices for me. Fill in the text box. Pull the data down from the desktop app. You've got a desktop app? Pull it. All right? Don't make me pick selection boxes. Don't make me type. All right? Whatever I did before, remember what I did before. All right? Make choices for me. If I'm going to filter for something, make the filters for me. Bake those filters in. Don't make me figure out what do I want to filter on. Tell me. I don't want to think. Make it impossible for me to make an error. I know that's a big charge, especially if you've got some application that's got to take some input. So if you can't make it absolutely impossible, at least do it so that I'm not filled with regret and fear, all right? Anything that I do in here that I screw up, I should either be easily able to undo it or fix it later. It shouldn't matter. Autosave, never delete data. Autosave, that kind of stuff, that's great. And I can't feel that anything I might do might be permanent. I don't have to necessarily fix it on the phone. We'll see that. Remember what I did. I'm constantly being interrupted. The phone is going away. All right, I come back. It could be because of tombstoning, or it could be because I put it down and I come back, do something that brings me back where I was. If I search for something before, you remember where I was before. If I put something in a text box, remember what it was. Maybe off in setting somewhere I can go clear some of that history out, but But that's why in these apps you see favorites. I've never written a favorites in my life in a desktop app, whereas you can hardly find a mobile app that doesn't have one. And finally, no empty screens. What is this? I mean, there's nothing more anxiety-provoking to me than the blank page or this thing. Am I supposed to put tasks in there? Am I supposed to put projects in there? What am I going to export? I don't have anything to export. All right, what am I going to reorder? There's nothing up there to reorder. What am I going to do? All right, don't do this to me, ever. Don't give me a blank screen. How about data? Because we're writing data-driven business applications. You know, we've got most of the applications I've ever worked on, you know, they've got hundreds of tables. I mean, that's the desktop app. But when you start focusing on that one purpose, the minimalism again, you're going to find that all those objects melt away. It's amazing how small the object model can get. So you're sitting there pulling your hair out saying, what am I going to do with all these? No, you're not going to do that in one application. You're just not. The task is going to tell you, and it's going to get small. And then you're going to say, well, all right, I've got my few objects, but what fields do I put out there? The reflex response is every field, because I don't know what the user wants. No. I want to suggest a different exercise. The exercise I'm going through is, imagine I was doing person, all right? And I was going to get return persons. My thought exercise is to start with no fields. All right, well, that's obviously not going to work, because if I put up a person, there's no fields, nobody can see the person. All right? So I go to the next step, which is what's the first, only thing, the maximum field, the maximum value field that tells me what that person is, and put that one on. Is that enough to accomplish the task? Find the minimum next field. If you can possibly stop at two, stop at two. Stop. Don't put another field on. Stop. Whoa, but I know they're going to need more fields. Yes, they will. Make the user beg you for another field. Make them beg you for the field and fight them on it until they prove that you need the field. Please cache the data locally. All right, there's a application that some of us have been using about this session, about this conference. And every time I start the thing up, it's bringing down the session information. I got news for you. This session has been at 3 o'clock with the same description for weeks. There is absolutely no reason for me to be refreshing the session information and driving me crazy. I want to know now. I've got to wait. That's terrible. You know this information. Put it in there. Let's suppose it's stale. Who cares? Show them the old stuff while in background you're going out and getting the fresh stuff. Don't make me wait. Cache it. And it's kind of in the same vein as when, you know, there was that whole business about not making me think and not making me have choices. We always think it's about choice. No, on the phone it's about constraining choices. All right? So if I have fixed filters where I have no decisions, I can prefetch them. Now we see this all the time. We see this in Outlook, right? All right, I don't get to make any decisions here. It's a pivot. It's a pivot filter, which is one of the things we've been told the pivot control is good at, and it is. And, you know, I've got, like, all and unread and urgent, and that's my choices, and it's all sorted from now backwards because I don't care. It's only going to get the top 10 emails anyway because it's about now. It's not about history long ago. It's not about the future mails I'm going to receive, as if there were such a thing. I'm not going to do any analysis. The phone is not a data analysis platform. It's no place to do charting unless the chart directly changes behavior. All right, and it's prefetchable. Hey, and this is the last one. It's social. All right? Now, I don't know about you, but I never really thought about my business application being social. What does social mean? Is there even a social dimension? You know, am I just trying to be hip? But I want to suggest to you that it's not about being hip and that there actually is a social dimension to many of these applications. All right? Because you've got colleagues, you've got other people working on it, and those colleagues are part of a business organization, and the business organization has interests in seeing all of you work and work together and share information and maybe go to, you know, here's the competition thing, you know? Maybe they want to goad you along a little bit. If I'm running a CRM system and I'm putting it in the hands of my salespeople, I want those salespeople to know what the other sales guy's doing. I want them fighting it out. How are they going to do that if I don't tell them? All right? So there's opportunities both to share information, but there's also you can reinforce the business purpose by introducing competition. And you can also, as we'll see, using the social thing, if you don't have that kind of application, use the social thing in order to sell your application. And we'll get to that. So there you have the principles. Actually, we're going to get to it right now, because I'm going to illustrate these points with a really wonderful application called Fourth and Mayor, which is an application around the Foursquare system, service. Foursquare, if you haven't used it, and I never had before I fired this up, I kind of knew about it, was about finding friends you want to hang out with and hanging out with them. It's a service to help you connect yourself with your friends in certain locations. And so on the chance that you haven't seen this, I'm going to play a silent movie and then give you a voiceover. So I'm launching it, and it comes up, and look, hey, it's already telling me it's doing something, and bang, I'm on the friends page. Well, I can go off and look at some other places that are in my neighborhood, but no, I'm really interested in friends and seeing what my other friends are doing and whether I could join them. Maybe I want to join here at the Mandalay Bay. I want to know who else is here, so I'm looking around. This is good. Seeing who else is here. Do I know any of these people? Maybe I want to know more about the Mandalay Bay, so I'm looking to see if there's any specials. Maybe I can save a little money. Well, maybe for some reason, and we'll talk about that, I want to check in and say I'm in the Mandalay Bay, except when I made the movie, I wasn't in the Mandalay Bay, so I backed out. No, I want to find out about my friend Adam Kinney, who's here, because I want to know what he's been up to. I want to know also if he's got any of these badges or mayorships that I covet. How does he stand relative to me? And I'm going to talk about what those mean and why they're important a little bit later. Look at that. He's selling Starbucks coffee to me. Ooh, badges, selling. Okay. We're back to friends. Hey, he's got friends in common with me. I want to see Brian. Maybe I should, cancel my friend Brian. Nah, he's no threat. He's got no badges, no mayorships. I'll keep him as a friend. Let's see, what else can we do? How about we find out about the other places that are near me? By the way, did you notice how that was scrolled over so nicely? Even though it was searching, it didn't wait. This is also nice. No choices. I could have typed into that box. No, I'm just scoping it down until I find a restaurant I'm interested in. Let's back out. All right. Let's get personal. I want to know about me. All right? Now, this is in settings, and I have some questions about why it's there, but there I am, and of course it's in settings, so I can change settings on Fourth and Mayor, but look what else it tells me. It tells me about the things that are important to me, my badges, my friends. All right? Do I have any friends here? Let's see. I don't have enough friends. I'm going to go add some. Ooh, I can go find them, and it's telling me all the ways I can find them. Again, constrained choice. I don't get to choose. I get to choose within a set. Eventually, I have to put some information in and keyboard some information in, and I'm going to talk about these particular choices a little bit later. Like here I am going on to Twitter, and I have to type this thing in, and if I don't remember it later, Jeff, who's in the audience, and yes, this application will be available, I'm told, for you to look at. But I wish it would remember that I typed that in, so I have to do it every time. How about my history, where I've been, where I've checked in? I got that. How about where I'm duking it out with my buddies on the leaderboard? How am I duking it out? Make sure that's available. Okay, so I'm back. One, two, and I'm out. I got through a lot of functionality there, and one, two, and I'm out. All right, like I said, almost 32 screens. I didn't really even notice it. I didn't even believe it as I was counting them. We'll get to that. Let's start with the business value point. All right. Now, this is not business value to Jeff, who wrote this application. He has his own agenda. This is business value to the person or to the organization that's behind it. They're matchmakers, friends and merchants. They're making their money not from the users. They're making it from the merchants. Somehow, someday they'll make, if they ever make any money, this is where they're going to make it, and they say so. All right, and here's the really cool thing. The value is in the service, not in the application. All you guys are out there trying to figure out how to make money on your application, and they're going, ha, ha, ha. We want as many people to write these applications as possible. All right, because we don't care. We make it on the service. So So I know you're, you know, some of you are not in that position to have a worldwide effective service with lots of capital in it. But if you're doing this for the business, you are in fact acting in this way. It would be cool if you could have other people write the apps for your business. But they really know what they're doing, all right? And this is kind of what they want us to do. They want to get users, all right, to tell them where they're spending their money. This isn't, you know, we just did that because we wanted to find our friends. That's not what they're interested in, all right? One of the points here is that that I'm trying to make is that the business purpose and the user's intent do not have to be the same. They merely have to be aligned in some way, and the application has to do the job of aligning them, all right? And these guys, I don't know if this is, by the way, I don't know if these things are exactly accurate. They look accurate to me. It's not, my message is not important whether this is true of Foursquare. The thing that's here is that you have at least a theory about how this works because it's going to guide the application. It's going to guide the decisions you make. All right? And look at these metrics. Now that they know what they want, all right, where are you spending your money? How do I promote the merchants, and how do I get your friends to grow the network of users? I know what to measure. Check-ins, which is the matchmaking measure. How many check-ins have I got? How many merchants? That's how I'll work with the merchants and tell them what they're seeing. And how many friends? That's how I'm growing the network. The user isn't necessarily aware of all this. They're thinking, this is an application that does one thing well. I put it on my fortune cookie. It's helped me find friends to hang out with. Right? And by the way, it's very clear about who you are. You are a single male professional, 20s to 30s. Now, I'm using the service, and I'm not single. I am male. But I'm not in my 20s and 30s. And All right. So it isn't that you're going to exclude desirables, but there's something called the paradox of specificity. The more specific you are about what you do and who you're doing it for, it's amazing how you bring other people in. Whereas if you try and serve everybody, it doesn't work that way. I want to talk about the primal thing here, because this is about being lonely. Partly, right? I mean, I'm going to go out and find my friends, man. I got nothing to do. I want to hang. It's partly building friendships. It's going to tap into something that's animal in me. All right? It's going to be tough if you're doing a leasing system to figure out what that is. So it may not be that that's in that fortune cookie, but there's going to be another way you can tap into the primal. It's got one user purpose. So what screen does it go to? The user purpose. Now, there's kind of a debate, because some apps go to the places that you could go buy stuff, all right, which is really, I think, what Foursquare would like you to do, because that's they're going to ring the cash register with the merchants. But no, Jeff says no. All right, be subtle. All right, get right up to the point about what the user's supposed to do. You'll get the business purpose in. That'll arrive. They'll look to the right, all right? And they'll look to the right, and they'll look to the right, and they'll find out more about the places that they can connect to. And I'll get back to my business purpose because it flows naturally, but not in my face, from my primary purpose. Oh, I finally do, however, the main theme I'm going down, and I say I'm going to join my friend in this place at his venue. And I'm going to do the thing that they want me to do. I'm going to press the button that says check-in, and they're going to make it easy here for me to just press the check-in. As a matter of fact, you can press check-in all over the place in this thing. It's always something you can do because that's what they want us to do. Now, why do I want to do this? All right? I wanted to meet up with my friends. I didn't want to check in. All right? Wow, I get a reward. I get a cookie. All right? You want to encourage behavior, give them a cookie. Do find that primal thing that makes me want to do what isn't necessarily in my immediate, at the top of my head. And what is the cookie here? I got points, I'm finding out what my friends are, I'm comparing myself to other people, I'm seeing if there's any chance I'm gonna make it as mayor here or not, all right? This is great. I'm motivated to check in, which is what they want me to do. It's part of what I do, and it's short and it's easy. And there's plenty of more time, opportunities to sell off this page too. So the business purpose is there, but it's kind of off to the right. It's always available. This is brilliant. Can you do this? Oh, one of my other purposes, business purposes, is to grow my network. Well, this actually ties into my interest as a user because I'd like to have some of my other friends here. I'm lonely. Come on, friends, come to my place. So I do share the email, but look what's in the email. All right, by the way, how many of you have, you know, in your business applications, have anything that shares anything with anybody? Let's go. There's something to communicate to somebody. And look, if you're building that application, Kelly White, how are you going to get other people to use that application? All right? Do you want them to go learn about it on the network or go learn about it in the marketplace? No. You want to tell your friends to come look at it and look what's in there. Every time I communicate, I'm communicating about the service. I'm communicating about the great things it did and how you can do this yourself. And if I was doing this with salespeople, I'd be saying, ha, 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 look at the deal I just closed. It's all about tying back to the business purpose. And then there was getting personal. Getting personal. So I can go in there, and yes, I get the settings, but look at all this other great stuff about me. Great stuff I'm interested in about me. It's all about me, isn't it? That's what the phone is about me. The desktop is about, like, Mr. Man. The man. I'm the man, actually, in my company, so so I like the man. But this is about you or me. Let's look at the data model. I'm used to these big hundreds of tables. What do I need? Now, I don't know if this is the actual data model. I didn't ask Jeff. All I did was I looked at all the screens. I said, who's here and what fields are they showing? And there are three primary objects because the task told me so. I mean, the purpose of the app told me what the objects had to be. And so hundreds of objects melted away in my data model because this is what I need to do, minimalism. This is really a relief to me if I'm trying to put the application down, desktop application down, because this is one of my big problems. Also, I'm not showing much. I'm not showing much. What is it, seven fields about person and then a bunch of links to some other things? Right? Most of those other, the seven objects that are in there are supporting information about one of my primary three objects. You're not going to actually have any trouble shrinking this model down. And one thing's for sure is you're not going to be able to use the existing model you got exactly as you have it. The data, yes. The model, no. All right? Don't worry about it. The technology, yes. The model, no. You don't need it. Cut it down. And then when you use it in context. I love this screen. It's the same screen. It's just two different shops at it. Right? I love it because of how few things there are to see about the person. All right? Not only that, but it changes. If it's nearby, I'm interested in the street of the location of where the person is. But if they're in another city, I don't care what street they're on. By the way, if they're nearby, I don't need to know what town they are. They're nearby. It's a street. If they're in another faraway location, I don't care about the street. I'm not going to go there. I'm just knowing that they're there, and I want to know what city and state they're in. Hey, how about that date? You know, I had a couple of other examples, didn't have time to show them, but one of them was a news reader, and it gave me the date in GMT. You're making me work, man. What am I supposed to calculate what that is in GMT today? You're making me work. Don't make me think. You give me a date, I'm already in trouble anyway. You tell me what time it is in digital, I'm in trouble. All right? But this I get 1 hour ago. I know, because everything is to do with now and here. Now and here. And your application should be about now and here. I'm saying it's like you. I'm talking to you like it's you out there. I'm sitting here, I'm saying, please remember this yourself, Word. Please remember. All right? Here's something really cool, because eventually, you know, in order to accomplish a task, you need more information than will fit on a screen. You certainly don't want to crowd the screen. Each screen should be about one thing, just like your application is about one thing. Don't crowd it. So how am I going to get at the other aspects of person and place without going chutes and ladders up and down in depth and all that other stuff? And so Jeff does something here with the pivot control that I don't remember seeing in the style guide, but I'm calling it pivoting around the data. Basically, what happens is as you move the pivot control, you're getting a different facet, a different look, a completely distinct and smart look at that data, focused look at that data. It's about one thing on each screen, and yet I'm moving around horizontally. If I hit the back button at any time, I shoot out, right? So I'm just looking at it from different angles. Very good. All right. This is a way to handle what do I do when I actually do need to show more data about my target object, my target business object. And the downside of that is that I can't quite see off to the right. I can only see one over to the right, so I don't necessarily have information about what's on the back side of the cube, the back side of the pivot. All right. Hey, Again, I don't know whether Jeff knew this, was conscious of this or not. All I know is that he did it. He said, you know what? I know you're going to land on that front index page. I'm going to make that a jump page. And I'm going to, let me zoom in on that a little bit. I'm going to give you something like the live tiles equivalent on this page. I'm going to give you an indication about whether there's something interesting on a different facet of this data than you know, that will make you jump over to something that isn't mayor, for example, because I can't see what the things are on the right. And so I can click on any of these things if they interest me and hop right to one of the other pivot pages. Now, I'm not losing the back button, man. I'm just going sideways around. This is just moving around in the pivot. If I hit the back button from any one of these places, I'm going up. So I can do that right within the pivot and back out. Right? And I can also use this as a jump page to do other kinds of things that might take me elsewhere, like sharing with other people, right? Opening a Twitter page. And he can bring this off in part because he's been very parsimonious in his discussion of what a person is. He's given me just enough about what the person is at the top to help me identify and know how fresh it is. But there's hardly anything up there. And it's a jump page to get to what I want. And I don't pay a drilling cost. This is what I mean, I don't pay a drilling cost. I kind of looked at this thing, and I said, you know, there are two prime layers in here. First of all, the concept count is really low. I've got friends and places. Hey, there's a lesson for us. Don't make me think. So one of the reasons I had this feeling like I was going through endless screens and never feeling lost is the concept count was really low. Friends, places, check-ins. Everything else was supportive of that. All right, so these are the top two screens that matter, friends and places, and then I've got my pivot around the data things down below. And and beyond that, maybe there's a little something or other, a little search, a little check-in. That's what those little boxes are where I dip out and then I come immediately right back. And this thing is a whole interplay between friends and places. And what is the business purpose of this application? Matching friends and places. And that also happens, by the way, this is not like I'm saying, ooh, bad business. Not at all. I'm a business guy. All right. There's an alignment between the business interest and the user interest, and the application has found it, and it's reinforcing that alignment, which I think is pretty good. This was the guided search I was talking about. If I want to find places, sure, I could type in the search box, but let's see if I can get this to go over there. But, you know, this is about hanging out in places where people are, and where do people hang out? Food, nightclubs, coffee shops, all right? So I can punch those buttons. Get a list. I've always got something, right? And if I really need to scope it down, I can scope it down to find the German restaurant. It's a guided search. Don't make me think. Don't make me work. You know, if I want to work, okay, I'll work. But don't make me that's my primary path. Eventually, though, I might actually have to type something. And this is where it was in the ad friends. It's just you just run out of the ability to tell people exactly what they're searching for. But it's still focused on the ways that it's made a decision about how you'll find friends. This isn't like all those columns with those filter boxes and the endless search checkboxes in advanced search. No. All right? And in part, he's broken it out like this, I think, because you get handier keyboards when you go to name versus phone. I mean, it might have seemed easier to just have one to look the address box. But it's much nicer if you can make it easier. I hate the keyboard. Kill the keyboard. In whatever you do, and never have more than one text box on a screen, I think. But this way you can put different input scopes in there that will help me make it easier if I have to do the hard work of entering text values. So that's why that split, I believe. And also he's going to different sources with the Twitter. No empty screens. I couldn't find an empty screen in 4th and Mayor. Which is really great. When I start at the very top, there's always something. There's always data, and it's always about me, and it's always about now. It's my friends. It's the friends who are near me. There's always going to be somebody near me or somebody in another city, so it's guaranteed that I'll have something on the first page that's of interest. All right? And if I go over and look at places, there's guaranteed to be somebody near where I am unless I'm on the moon. All right? And even if I go to some place where I don't have anything, it does not leave me in the dark about my not having anything. It's telling me to. And not only that, he tries to find, He says it in plain English, but tries to find sort of more upbeat ways to tell you these kinds of things. You know, nobody's here now, woo, or how about that? Nothing wild and crazy happening here. Why don't you start it? Woo, you know? I mean, so it's not a bad idea to put a little fun into the game. But the key thing is I'm never looking at an empty screen and wondering if the application is still working, which is our biggest fear on a phone or any application. Is the darn thing still working? Now I know it's not working. I don't have anything. Thank you. The other thing is when I was moving slow, you know, sliding around around the pivoting around the person, you will notice that I was always, even if it was going to go out and fetch stuff, I could always move on to the next pivot face, always, because he's never letting getting of data get in the way. All right, he's doing it in the background. He's never freezing the UI while he goes and satisfies something like I'm not interested in. If I don't care about mayorships, I shouldn't. You know, why should I wait for the mayorships thing to fill in order before I move on to badges? I don't have to. All right? And here's the other thing. There are actually those little blue balls that fly back and forth across the top. They actually are there. But that is the most devastatingly awful busy indicator that there is. All right? Because I don't know what the heck is going on. And I don't know. I don't really know. You're making me think. I'm not thinking here. Hello. I mean, it's very quick, and he's having fun on the front page. But I'm searching, or I'm loading, or I'm something. Tell me you're doing something. Don't give me the blue balls. Take that where you want it. All right? And then I get something. I always get something. So don't make me think. I've got this nice differentiation between this when it's searching, when it's working for me, and when it's done, even if it didn't find anything. All right? These are things that I can tell you on the desktop I just never did. You know, I mean, I was happy because the poor sucker is sitting there in the cube. He's got to use the thing anyway. But nobody has to use this application. Nobody has to use Forth and Mayor. And I really think that, if I'm doing an application on the phone, I want to be thinking about why it is that somebody's going to voluntarily do this. Oh, errors. First of all, there are hardly any text boxes in here. About the only state change you really make that I can remember is you check in, which is the key state change. And if I screw up when I check in, if I check in Texas, which I did, when I'm sitting there in California, no problem. It says, okay, hey, it even gave me points for checking in Texas. I couldn't possibly have checked in Texas, all right? Because it's not a big deal. It's not important. And I can go fix it on the web in the desktop app. All right, which is really important thing. Hey, you know what? When you moved this application onto the phone, you did not give up the desktop. These are not rivals. These are companions. The desktop application is the big brother. It's there to help. So if there's functionality that doesn't feel right on the phone, let it go. Let the desktop do it. So if I make a mistake in check-in, I can't fix it. And if somebody came and said, Jeff, I really think you should make it possible to fix that, you know, to retract a check-in on the phone, I'd say, why? Because you're giving me more things to think about, and why would I, you know, what's the use case? I don't want to validate. Don't make me validate. Hey, do I put a tip in there, and I put my dog in the photo, and what does that have to do? Oh, God. Hey, I can't fix that on the phone. Why bother? Who cares? I just go over to the desktop app, and I fix it there if I even care. Don't make it hard for me. And don't make it something that I'm filled with regret. No regrets. All right? Forth and Mayor means never having to say you're sorry. All right, I added a wrong friend. Okay, it's easy to unfriend them, and I can refriend them again. So, you know, it's okay. I'm not saying you never put it on the app, but you don't have to. And what's really clear is that, you know, I can't delete it. I can't do any harm. Now, people will say, you know, in Outlook, I can delete an email. You told me I shouldn't be able to delete. Well, actually, you don't delete the email. It just moves into the deleted folder. All right? So don't delete. Put it someplace, and then it's recoverable later and stuff like that, and I'll have time to go fix it later. Don't validate. Don't punish me for doing the wrong thing. Just let me go. Because you know what? I'm standing around with that phone in my hand, and I'm distracted and stuff like that. I mean, it's bad enough that you punish me in the office. Don't punish me out here in the field. I seem to have lost my, how do I go forward? I've lost it. Yeah, I think that's going to do it. Da, 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 da. Hey, be competitive. I love this thing in here, this whole badges thing. I mean, I didn't understand it. You know, I didn't understand this gamification of business apps or anything like that, which is the new hotness, all right? But I started looking at this, and despite myself, I wanted to be mayor. What? People going to throw a parade for me because I'm a mayor? And I wanted badges. Why? I'm an idiot, all right? We're idiots. We love this stuff. And particularly since this thing is aimed at who? Single males, 20 to 30. I mean, I was really an idiot then. I love this stuff, all right? So even in an application in which badges mean nothing and mayors mean nothing, I want them. And I want to do better than Roger. He's killing me. All right? Primal. Now, how could this play in a business application? You know? Well, you know, what if it was a little bit more serious? Oh, by the way, there's a really useful distinction here between the mayorships and the badges. You may wonder why they have two. And I don't really know the answer, except that I noticed this. A badge you can have and you can have forever, but a mayorship you can lose. You don't get to keep it forever. All right, so there's this constant war. Who's going to be on top? Maybe I can dislodge you as mayor, king of the hill. You can be a loser or you can be a winner. I want to be a winner. All right? If this was tied, now think of this as a sales system, right? And the salespeople were on the leaderboard, all right? And they had certain accomplishments, and those badges were somehow associated with sales goals, and you can be king of the hill this month, but your mayorship in the sales land goes away. Let's suppose this is tied to compensation. What if these mayorships and badges are tied to compensation? Hey, I can tell you, because I had all these, you know, all these sales guys, and there was a constant battle, but the thing that we didn't do very well in our business app was let them know where they stand all the time. And when you let people know where they stand, they're looking over their shoulder to see what somebody else is doing. This is great stuff. You thought it was all social fun and games. No, this is behavior modification. All right? And this is also about getting new friends in. If I'm rewarded for something, I will do it. Give me a cookie. I'm that ape. Give me a cookie. All right. So those are the principles. It's kind of shocking as I look over at the applications I built, which were not only ugly, which Metro will take care of the ugly, but I'm not sure I was making the best decisions in terms of how to induce the best, most productive behavior out of the user. And I think that I got something to learn from someplace I didn't even expect to see it, which is a phone app about hanging out with my buds, all right? So from a practical perspective, my thought is, I've really had a great time analyzing apps, and I would urge you to do as I intend to continue to do, which is keep getting new apps and looking at them. See how they work. Break them down. It's not too hard. This is a tool I got. It's really simple. It's a webcam. Sits on a stand. That's the great thing is that it comes with a stand. And I can take screenshots all day with this thing and watch how my hands move over it. And when I want to take it out into the field and say, hey, user, how does this work? All right. A lot of us miss the fact that you can't actually get the video out of the phone. We're not allowed to do that. But maybe that was a good thing. Because if you were just getting the video out of the phone, you wouldn't see how people were interacting with it. There's nothing like seeing the hands and the thumbs and the hesitation as somebody's sitting there trying to figure out where to go on your phone. Because if you just had the video coming out of the phone, all you would see is long pauses, all right, while the screen sat there. You wouldn't have any idea what they were doing. Or if they took off for someplace, you'd have no idea why they went there, because you wouldn't have seen them go for one target and hit another. I love this thing. It's cheap, $60. Go get it. Some other resources, this actually is a great page, this MSDN Design Resources page. I'm now moving back, you see the green color, I'm talking about Metro and UI and UI design, not this other kind of design. These Design Day recordings, you got to have them. They're really wonderful. I showed you Jeff's a checklist, you got to use it. Because I had an example I wanted to show you of where somebody missed one of the items on there and it was a minor tragedy. And they'll go fix it. This guy named Scott Barnes, very inflammatory. I love his blog. I love what he does. Track this baby down. The deck will be up there. He's just fun to watch, and you know, he's just got great insight into this crossover point between UI design and business purpose. All right, so highly recommend Scott Barnes' blog. I really like Justin Angel's wiki that he's putting together, which is a collection written in Silverlight of all kinds of links and ongoing links and resources to all kinds of things, design and development. So, there's nothing left to do here. I got no more principles. I'm out of principles, friends. Nothing left but the crying. Get out there, get spanked, and build your application. Thanks very much. I'm here tonight. Woo! It's okay if there are no questions. I know we all want to get out of here. Let's fly. Let's go. Yeah. Thanks all for coming.